This week, Republicans begin their second week in control of Congress with a vote on the Keystone XL energy pipeline, even though they lack the votes to override a veto from President Obama, an internal squabble over attaching immigration maneuvers to a bill that funds the Department of Homeland Security, and surprise, Mitt Romney telling supporters he's considering running again for president in 2016, which we're guessing will be brought up at this week's Republican strategy retreat. Let's take a look at it all with Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And start with some debate today over what happened yesterday. People saying that there wasn't a high-profile enough U.S. leader at that huge march in Paris. White House spokesperson Josh Earnest is saying today that the White House is saying we should have sent someone with a higher profile. And here's Florida Republican Marco Rubio today on CBS This Morning.
I thought it was a mistake not to send someone. Look, I understand when the president travels, he brings with him a security and communications package, which is intense. And I understand you drop that into the middle of something like this. It could be disruptive. But Eric Holder was in Paris, and maybe John Kerry should have gone, or somebody else, or a plethora of people they could have sent.
Ron, your thoughts?
This is something the White House has chosen to simply acknowledge was an error. This was a misjudgment on their part. Late last week, when the president was considering going, some of those factors you just heard Senator Rubio refer to were clearly important to the White House. They also did not want to upstage what was going on in terms of the unity of Europe, some of the people coming together who usually do not. There were many considerations, but it does seem now that John Kerry's trip to India might have been de-emphasized. He could have been sent. Certainly, they should have done something to make sure that Eric Holder was there because he was literally in Paris. But really, anything shy of sending the president himself is going to be read as, in some sense or another, disrespecting that moment in the history of France. And if the French see it in those terms, it's certainly easy to understand why.
Yeah. Well, at that moment, Eric Holder was actually taping segments with the Sunday morning talk shows to talk about the reverberations of the security questions that come out of France. And so let's take that up. You know, how will what's happened in France affect the debate in Congress over approving temporary funding for the Department of Homeland Security? Now, conservatives have been pushing to add amendments that would stop President Obama's recent executive orders on immigration. Now they could be seen as holding up security. Here's what the number two Republican Party leader in the Senate, John Cornyn, said yesterday when pushed on that by CBS host Bob Schieffer.
A targeted way to try to address and defund that implementation of his unconstitutional executive action is something I think we need to do. But we're not going to take any chances with the homeland.
And here's what California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, former Senate Intelligence Committee chair, said on CNN.
I think there are sleeper cells not only in France, but certainly in other countries, and yes, even in our own. So I think this calls for vigilance. It calls for seeing that the national security organizations of our country, the intelligence community, is funded fully.
So, Ron Elving, how will this play out this week?
This makes it more difficult for the Republicans who thought they had a pretty good strategy for attacking the president's recent actions on immigration, specifically the deferment of those deportation orders. This would be a bill that was supposed to give money, about $40 billion, to run the whole Homeland Security operation from top to bottom, only a small portion of which, relatively speaking, has anything to do with deportation or anything to do with immigration, for that matter. But it's in there. And so by using this particular vehicle, and they left this out, you remember back in December, just before Christmas, they specifically left out this particular appropriation bill having to do with Homeland Security, thinking that would be the best way to get at the president's recent immigration actions. Now it's going to be a little sweatier because they're going to have to say, well, yeah, we're actually threatening to hold this up. And of course, they're challenging the president to veto anything they attach to this bill, thereby supposedly leaving the Homeland Security Department unfunded. So we're going to have another one of these showdowns, another one of our cliffs.
Well, luckily, as you said, this affects their strategy. And luckily, they're going to have a strategy retreat at the end of the week in Hershey, Pennsylvania. As Mitt Romney tells supporters, he might run for president again. We know last week Jeb Bush formed a PAC. It was seen as a way to out-fundraise other possible candidates. Now you possibly have Mitt Romney with his deep pockets. How does that affect things?
Yes, now we know why Jeb Bush got right out of the box and formed not only a PAC, but a committee and a number of other things. He really put a lot of the campaign mechanism in place all of a sudden. And now we know that he was really serious about signaling to the Romney people that Jeb Bush would be in the race and that there would not be a great big open lane for a centrist, moderate, relatively speaking, conservative. And now, of course, we're hearing back from Mitt Romney that maybe he's not dissuaded just because Jeb Bush is going to be in the race. That surprises some people. It's not clear yet that Mitt Romney is 100% persuaded to go ahead and do this himself. But a lot of the people around him, a lot of his fundraisers, a lot of the people who would like to see him run for president think he would be a better candidate and a better president than another Bush. And that emphasis on another Bush is popping up in a lot of these discussions.
Okay. Well, take a look at the topic that's on the table even today. Last week, the House passed a bill to approve the Keystone XL energy pipeline from Canada. The Senate getting ready to vote today. But what does this matter if neither House has the votes to override a presidential veto?
It shouldn't matter if neither House has the votes to actually override the veto. That would seem to end the question, but it never does seem to end. We've had the Keystone around now for better part of a decade. This is an issue that never seems to die, and there is a tremendous amount of determination on the part of the industry and the states affected to get this done. So what the Senate's going to do tonight is have a cloture vote to decide whether or not they can proceed to the bill. It looks like they've got the 60 votes they need, maybe a couple to spare, and we'll go on to debate the bill the rest of this week while they're still in town before that strategy meeting, and then next week, they'll come back, debate it some more, maybe get it done. It might take until the end of the month. Then it'll go to the president. The president will veto it. He has assured us he will. And then we'll see whether or not they can get 67, not just 60, but 67 votes for a two-thirds majority in the Senate. Looks pretty steep. And in the House, there just doesn't seem to be any possibility that they'll get enough Democrats to get to two-thirds.
Yeah. Well, we have about a minute here. Very briefly, Democrats are also going to have a retreat and injured. Now, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid won't be there, but we're assuming part of the conversation there will be a move on the part of some Democrats, Chris Van Hollen from Maryland in particular, to unveil what party leaders are calling an action plan on income inequality, taking money through tax breaks away from the middle class and giving money to the middle class, taking it away from the very wealthy.
This is the influence to some degree of Elizabeth Warren, the still recently elected senator from Massachusetts, who has really put the emphasis on what the Democratic Party has failed to do, in her view, for the middle class, for people who are wage earners. And one of the ways that the government can actually try to help those people is by peeling back some of the taxes that they pay and try to ease their life in that sense and show themselves to be the party of the little guy and not the party of Wall Street.
We'll keep an eye on that. Ron Elving, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.